Tom Karkel in the WRJN News Center. Forecast for today, clouds will be on the increase. We will have a high around 47. Kenosha right now, 36 degrees. It's 35 in Burlington. Milwaukee, 37, also 36 in Racine. Well, despite delays in finalizing that contract between Foxconn and the state of Wisconsin, a couple of local legislators are indicating that doesn't mean that the deal is in trouble. Assembly Speaker Robin Vaughn saying he's still confident that Foxconn, that deal will come to pass.
Biggest concern that I heard from my constituents as I listened to the ones who had questions about whether the investment in Foxconn was worth it is to make sure that they create the jobs they promised, that the tax incentives don't happen unless jobs are created, and that if for some reason they fall short, there's a clawback to make sure that taxpayers are protected. All of those are being negotiated in the contract that will ultimately be signed. So I would rather have them take their time and get it right than to try to rush it through and then regret it later.
In a separate interview, Democratic Representative Peter Barca made it clear he believes the deal will eventually be signed.
One never knows. Obviously, until the negotiations are complete, you don't have a deal. So I think it's still very likely that it would go forward, but there are still some important issues that have to be worked through.
Up until a few days ago, Barca sat on the board of directors of the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation. He was replaced, however, as part of the Assembly Democratic's recent leadership struggle. As a member of the legislature, he voted to support the Foxconn incentives package. A majority of his colleagues on the Democratic side did not. The former Ajax Industrial Complex site, north and east of 16th Street and Junction Avenue in Uptown Racine, moving right along, but with some tweaking of the project components going forward. Development Director Amy Conley telling the Redevelopment Authority is no longer going to be an historic rehab for Cardinal Capital Development as originally designed, but rather it'll be geared at market-rate residential units as well as some housing designed and priced for veterans.
They are working with the Housing Authority of Racine County on project-based vouchers, and that will help support the veterans that would be housed at that facility. But note that it's probably going to be less than half of the units, and the other half will be market-rate apartment. They're hoping that their construction budget will begin to come together and should be finalized by spring 2018. They would like to begin construction by summer 2018, and they hope to have lease and resident move-in in fall of 2019.
Connolly adding that Cardinal Capital also looking into options regarding new market tax credits to the project, including a culinary incubator.
They're looking and talking with people like Talia Mendez at Launchbox, and they're starting to talk to different people around the state, like the Farm Market Kitchen Incubator. Wibbick's got one. There's a couple incubators in different places in the state. I saw one in the Driftless region that's really popular. So we're looking at different options, and that would be what the new market tax credit would pay for primarily.
The initial veterans housing proposal for the Clark Street buildings was with Indianapolis-based developer Herman and Kittle, but subcontractor bids on that $18-plus million project were about $4.5 million over budget. Racine-based S.C. Johnson gets Conservation International's most prestigious honor, the Global Conservation Hero Award, for environmental commitment and actions toward a transformative impact for the good of the planet and for its people. Tropical rainforests are one of the planet's most vital ecosystems needed by people everywhere to thrive, so says company chairman and CEO Fisk Johnson in a statement. He adds, protecting rainforests is critical to protecting our future, while I hope that our support encourages others to get involved. That award presented to S.E. Johnson at Conservation International's 30th anniversary gala last night in Los Angeles. Wisconsin U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin's going to be in Racine tomorrow. It's being called a conversation about tax reform and putting Wisconsin families first. She's going to be discussing the recently unveiled GOP tax plan at Uncorked at 240 Main Street downtown beginning at 2 p.m., joined, according to a release, by local grassroots activists from both Racine and Kenosha. Well, fire departments and law enforcement agencies all across southeast Wisconsin are urging you, the public, to check the smoke and carbon monoxide alarms for working batteries when you turn your clocks back an hour early Sunday morning. That fire we told you about at a Racine County home in the 1300 block of West Highway G in Raymond yesterday, that resulted in about $100,000 in estimated damage. How it started, though, reportedly up on the second floor, is still under investigation. The tenant on the first floor, who had been asleep when the fire began, got some on-scene medical care for smoke inhalation. The incident commander for Raymond Fire declared a mutual aid box alarm system response, or MABUS as it's known. That resulted in several neighboring communities sending equipment and personnel. Three of five people arrested by Pleasant Prairie police last weekend accused of shoplifting more than $19,000 worth of items from stores at the Premium Outlets Mall were in court yesterday. 36-year-old Zeta Rendon, 34-year-old Paola Peralta, both of New York, 21-year-old Yad Rodriguez from Berwyn, Illinois, each facing numerous counts of felony shoplifting and one count each of receiving stolen property. They're being held on $10,000 bonds. Preliminary hearings scheduled for next week. And a plea agreement in the Racine County court case against 25-year-old Joseph Muka on drug charges leads to charges of being party to the crime of maintaining a drug trafficking place being dropped against his parents. Muka arrested based on an April Metro Drug Unit search of his town of Waterford home, from which marijuana and more than $60,000 were taken as evidence. Racine County Judge Mark Nielsen fining Muka $500 on each of the three reduced charges in addition to other court costs. He also loses the confiscated money under terms of that deal. There's a great need for affordable housing in the Kenosha area, and a proposal by a foundation being formed by the family of L.A. Chargers running back Melvin Gordon, the one-time Wisconsin and Kenosha Bradford star, to address that need is being considered now by the Shalom Center, the homeless shelter in Kenosha. His executive director is Lynn Beast Carroll and says she has met with the Gordon family, feels the two organizations could work together to help people find transitional living.
And we have looked at their proposal, and we think anything that allows families and individuals to move into stable, safe housing is a good idea. So the transitional, the modification of these containers into a transitional style home is really an interesting concept for us.
She says the Shalom Center's board is going to start a new round of strategic planning soon now that their new shelter on 39th Avenue is up and fully operational. The Racine Redevelopment Authority approving a pair of white box program applications, two more onto the list of about a dozen now to help deal with some of the infrastructure of older buildings. Kimron Bonner looking to open up a breakfast and lunch Southern cuisine restaurant at 327 Main Street to be called Mrs. Betty's Kitchen, possibly within the next couple of months. He received approval earlier on a facade grant. Tom Bain's application is for a long vacant building at 411 Main Street and a business to be called Eye Openers, owned by Ken Brown. The White Box program offers a grant of up to $20,000 for qualifying applicants. This began with a $100,000 allocation, which was quickly used up, and the Common Council then approved another $150,000 toward that program. Meanwhile, the city of Racine is moving ahead on development of what has been known as, of course, the Machinery Row Project site. Now it's called the Water Street redevelopment effort. One developer failing to deliver on properties acquired. A second company couldn't secure needed tax credits from the state on another component. The Redevelopment Authority hearing from City Development Director Amy Conley, who said that the city and General Capital Development agreed to part ways on the 615 Marquette Street building. It's likely going to be torn down now in the near future.
We worked very diligently over the last 6 months, actually more than that, almost the last year, working on the property, doing research on the historic preservation tax credit options, as well as looking at different financing options for the building.
Meanwhile, she said in addition to the state legislature and the governor clamping down on historic tax credits, a new federal tax plan that just came out, it appears to eliminate them at that level altogether.
Congress has also voted in their new tax proposal to completely get out of the national historic preservation tax credits. So not only are the tax credits going to be limited at the state level, but they're going to be possibly removed from a national level, and funding of historic restoration in city neighborhoods is going to be very difficult in the future.
The new emphasis on that old industrial corridor is going to include taking down buildings and repairing the 27 acres to make it ready for possible development. On the Racine Development Office now working with a new website, logo, and branding called Build Up Racine. It focuses separate attention on that aspect of city government. Alderman Sandy Widener had to ask at the meeting yesterday if it was also designed to replace the existing city logo. She was told no. RDA member Jen Adamski-Torres joining Chairman Jim Spangenberg and Development Director Conley in stating this new logo is not a replacement.
From a marketing perspective, co-branding is a very common thing for municipalities and for businesses to do. So, I can appreciate your concern, and I'm sure we'll, take that into consideration to make sure, but that's very standard kind of practice when you're looking to brand economic development initiatives.
Development Director Conley said the new logo, brand, and website only for development and redevelopment efforts, since there's already been, in her words, incredible positive feedback. WRJN.com. That's our webpage. That's where we keep our newscasts in the local news section. Also, throughout the day at WRJN News, we'll get you our Twitter updates. I'm Tom Carco, WRJN News.